Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, Chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. Listen to God's word. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, verses 9 through 13. And I'll just tell you, this is the first time I've ever preached on Thessalonians, so this will be interesting. Hear now these wonderful words to us this morning. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the sermon title this morning is Prepare for the Promise of Love. Already, I have started to look in our Advent devotional, and it's interesting. The title is called A Time of Wonder. It begins by saying this: during this Advent season, we are invited to look to the past at what Christ has done, even as we look to the future hope of what he will do when he comes again. When I read that, I was like, I can't hardly believe it, because this is almost exactly what the young church in Thessalonica is holding on to now, this exact tension, this tension between what is right now and what is next. They want to know what will happen to believers who die before Christ returns. Now, Paul is worried about them. He's not worried about their theological questions. Oh, no, he's always pretty good about answering those. He's worried about their well-being. They are being challenged and persecuted with very little support from the outside world. So you think about that. He had gone to teach them and then left, and then this little church with new believers are kind of left alone. So I'm wondering what Paul was thinking, and I imagine he's thinking some things like this. Can they hold together? Can they keep the faith? Can they be strong? Paul, even though he really desperately wanted to go back to them, was unable to personally return to Thessalonica, and he writes this letter to encourage them and support them. Paul writes to encourage them, but then when Timothy returns from visiting this community, Paul finds that he is the one that is encouraged. He is encouraged because he finds the church is not downtrodden. They're not struggling with things. No, they're abounding in love for one another. Even in the questioning, even in what's going on underneath, the difficult times, their joy is evident. And this love and joy is what gives Paul reasons for, for himself to be joy-filled. Just think about that. Paul is now filled with joy because he knows the church is doing well and they're loving each other. Love is contagious, isn't it? Love is a powerful witness of one's faith and one's beliefs. This reminds me of Rob Bell's book titled Love Wins. Has any of you ever read that book, Love Wins? Well, it's a book he wrote with his own theological struggles. Bell says this about love. He said, first, I believe that Jesus' story is first and foremost about the love of God for every single one of us. It is a stunning, beautiful, expansive love, and it is for everybody, everywhere. The church in Thessalonica gets it. They understand at the core of their faith, at the core of their belief in Christ is this love. And Paul, he just did one visit to them. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now the visible result is a stunning, beautiful, expansive love. From the outside, one might think that they're not facing any challenges, right? Maybe they're all just like-minded, right? Maybe there's no division among them, but that simply was not true. Paul's letter seems to indicate a bit of a surprise that all is going well. And the reality is that when Paul went to Thessalonica, he was forced to believe because there was this intense opposition against him. And this intense opposition was so strong that Paul was fearing, and he left the city hurriedly. For the church of Thessalonica, the experience of love and the promise of love to come was the glue. It was everything they needed to hold them together, to keep them faithful in their journey. You know, experiencing love does have a way to change us in a deep way. Love is like the fabric of our being, and it helps to be rewritten in our hearts. I remember a story about a woman who walked into our church, the church I had before I came here. And it's a story about love. So see, this woman was coming to our church, and I saw her bringing in grocery cart after grocery cart of food to donate to our food pantry. I didn't know this person. I had not even seen her once, but I was stunned by her generosity. I was watching her and wondering. I didn't want to go up to her and scare her because I thought I could do something to scare her off, but I just kind of kept watching her as she go in and out and in and out and keep bringing in food. So I was wondering, what is this all about? Why is she bringing in all this food? I don't even know her. She's not connected to anybody in our church. So when she had completed her delivery, I walked her out to the car. It was always a good time for me to visit with people. We're outside and it's casual. And I started to talk to her. I wanted to know what was behind her bountiful and lavish donations. She shared with me that many, many years ago, many years before I was even part of that church, years before I probably was even in ministry, her husband had left her. She said he came home one day and he said, "Goodbye, I'm leaving." And she didn't know what to do. She had 3 young children to raise. She wasn't even sure she could make enough money to provide for them. She went on to share that she simply just did not know what to do. She was devastated by the divorce, but even more concerned about her ability to provide for her children. But she said this, "I will never forget your church. I came to your food pantry and people were so accepting, so loving." You see, she felt bad about herself. And she said, "No one made me feel like I was less than a person because I was there. She said everybody was so accepting of me, so loving. She said, your church saved my life. Of course, life is good for me now, she went on to say. I have a great job and my children are all grown up, but I'll never forget the love and acceptance I experienced here. And that's why every year she comes and gives the food pantry tons and tons of food. Love led her to a spirit of thankfulness, and thankfulness that poured out in her generosity. That's what love does to us. What a story to tell, what a story to hear. Love found a place in her heart, and love had that lasting effect on her year after year. This first Sunday in Advent is when we prepare again for the coming of Christ. It is a time of waiting and wondering just what it means that love enters the world again. I keep thinking about that church in Thessalonica, and I keep thinking about how they were able to let their love lead the way in the midst of conflict and struggle. They are a model for us of the power of love to spread joy, to build community, to strengthen hearts in holiness. You know, I've experienced that kind of love right here in my own midst, in our own midst of our challenges and struggles. Yes, we have theological views on some things that are different here, right? Yes, we have different understandings of what the church should be and what the church should be doing. And yes, we have different ideas of who the new pastors should be, who will lead you into tomorrow's. We have differences here. And yes, we have been here in this in-between time before, haven't we? Yes? You and me, we've been here before, haven't we? All right, I didn't want to think you forgot 12 years ago. We've been here before. Yes, we have. But we're not the same that we were 12 years ago. We're not the same people that we were 12. It might be more like 14 years ago, but it's at least 12 years ago. And that is because love has changed us and continues to change us every day as we work together as a community we call the church. No wonder that Spirit called me back to you, for your love changed me. This is how I experienced your love. You were here when my mother died 12 years ago. Sending cards, giving words of support, you helped me find joy in the midst of sorrow and grief. You did. You've helped me now, even as my brother has had an illness, show the same kind of love and kindness. Oh, yes. That love continues to flow regardless of our circumstances. And then there's the love and support that I've seen you give each other. I've seen you sitting in the pews funeral after funeral, standing beside bereaved husbands and wives, holding each other together. I've seen you celebrating the life of a beloved long-term member, saying your goodbye and holding on to the promise of life. Again and again, I have seen you come to this place, to this sanctuary right here, to be a witness of love. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your love. Oh, yes, we have journeyed together before in this time of waiting and wondering. Some of us are waiting for just what is next in our life. Some are waiting for what is next in our next life. And some are just waiting for the promise of love that we celebrate and embody with the birth of Christ. Advent has begun, and we are waiting for the promise of love to come again. I went back to Bell's book, and I looked at the end of it, and he had this beautiful summary that I'll share with you. He says, love is what God is. Love is why Jesus came. And love is why he continues to come year after year to person after person. Bell ends his book with what I would call a blessing. And so I'm going to call it a blessing, and it's going to be my blessing to you. May you experience this vast, expansive, infinite, indestructible love that has been yours all along. May you discover that this love is as wide as the sky and as small as the cracks in your heart that no one else knows about. And may you know deep in your bones that love wins. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.